The Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee passed a budget proposal last week that would cut income taxes across the board to the tune of $3.5 billion in the two-year budget. Democrats say the cuts would disproportionately benefit the wealthiest Wisconsinites over middle and working class residents. In his original proposal, Governor Evers called for income tax cuts with a focus on middle class taxpayers. The proposed cuts come at the same time as the Federal Reserve is attempting to lower inflation by cooling the economy with higher interest rates. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you need an income tax cut at the state level? What do you think lawmakers should do with the $7 billion budget surplus? How do you want to see tax cuts, income tax work, if at all? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Logan Kelly is a professor of economics at UW-River Falls. He's the university's former Department of Economics chair. Logan, welcome to Central Time.
Hi there. How are you today?
Pretty good. Well, we've got these dueling income tax cut proposals, the one on the table now from Republicans in the legislature. It can get complicated pretty quick, but what do you see, Logan, in the proposal going from four brackets to three, nudging down the rates in those brackets? What kind of impact do you see that having?
Well, generally speaking, I don't see it having a huge amount of impact overall, period. So when we look at tax cuts as a stimulus, as economic stimulus, there's really a mixed bag in terms of historically the different implementations of it. We can go with the 1960s with the Kennedy administration, who actually did do significant amounts of tax cuts and significant amount of tax cuts at the top levels. But at the time, the top marginal tax rate was like 90%. Mm-hmm. Looking at it today, we're not talking about tax rates that are anywhere near that high. Even looking at during the 1980s with the Reagan administration, we were talking coming out of the 70s with much, much higher marginal tax rates, particularly at the top, than what we have now. And so generally speaking, what it strikes me as when we think about tax cuts, a stimulus package today, is a little like it's linear thinking. You know, a little bit of tax cut is good, so a lot of tax cut must be bad.
Comparing the two plans again, Governor Evers said, hey, we're focusing on people making under $100,000 for our income tax cuts. Lawmakers said, no, let's do this for everybody who's paying income tax, including people at the higher levels. When it comes to the impact on an economy, do we know, does targeting one particular group or another seem to make much of a difference when it comes to the economic impact, if any?
Well, when we look at it in terms of theoretically, those in the lower tax brackets are spending, those lower incomes are spending a much greater percentage of their overall income than those at the higher tax brackets. All right. The higher tax brackets, the higher income individuals have more room to save, which is a good thing. But as a result, each one of those dollars going into that higher tax bracket is going to have a lower multiplier effect, you know, speaking strictly theoretically, than those at the lower tax bracket. So in terms of overall which ones it has to, which brackets it's best to target, to be honest, it's kind of questionable, because if we look at it, even if we do target lower tax brackets, a drop in the state income tax doesn't actually amount to a huge, huge amount of additional income or disposable income. For those lower tax brackets, even when we do target those lower tax brackets, one of the things we have to balance that with, especially in a relatively low tax environment, such as we are, those services that we have to give up in order to be able to afford those tax cuts.
So the opportunity cost for doing tax cuts, say, versus putting money into another, into some form of spending in the economy?
Well, sure. So there are basic services that are required for economic growth. And so really, I think this is one of the things I think it's really important to come away with when we think about economic development. It's a multifaceted and complicated process with multiple strategies that we need to approach it with. The economy is a complicated system. And so coming back to the reservoir, always, always, always of just cutting taxes isn't necessarily always the right strategy. Sometimes it is. especially when we're in a very, very high tax environment. There are other tools that we can do, and there are other parts to the economy that are important to make sure that exist. Everything from education to basic services being provided through things like broadband internet, through things like making sure roads and bridges are in good order and are up to the level needed for the industry that's there.
Talking to Logan Kelly, professor of economics at UW-River Falls, looking at proposals to cut the income tax in Wisconsin, the economic impact of doing that versus doing other things with our state's budget surplus. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see income tax cuts here in the state? If so, for everybody who pays income tax, for certain groups? If so, which ones? Or are there other better ways to use the state's budget surplus, do you think? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Tom is with us in Rhinelander. Tom, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to bring up, Tom?
I wanted to say that I think that the surplus ought to be spent on municipalities. For over 10 years now, we've had levy limits that have made it very, very hard for counties and other municipalities to hire and retain employees and get their essential jobs done. They've cut to the point where they're bare bones, and I think they need a shot in the arm that some of this money could give to them. If there are to be tax cuts, I would prefer to see them go to the middle class. Over the years since 1980, we've seen the middle class shrink in America, and I think that's a very bad sign for everyone in the long term. And I'd like to finish by quoting Oliver Wendell Holmes, who said, "I like to pay taxes. With them, I buy civilization." Thank you.
Tom, thanks for the call. Okay, a couple main points there. Tom brought out funding for local governments. We have this shared government or shared revenue for local governments deal that was reached outside of the budget, putting some of that money that Tom's looking for into local governments. Logan, how do you feel about that as a use of state budget surplus money versus tax cuts?
Well, I think it's a really important point. I will agree with the Holmes quote, only I'm going to still say I don't like raising taxes, but I like it better than doing without some of the services that we need, like some of these municipal services that we make available. And it's important because we have many things that happen at the municipal level that benefit the state level. But historically, there hasn't been a good way for revenue to flow back from the state into the municipalities. On top of that, with revenue capping strategies and policies in place, it really has put a lot of institutions, such as municipalities, such as school districts, such as even UW system, in a bind with respect to basically between a rock and a hard place. On one hand, they can't raise revenue. On the other hand, they're getting revenue taken from them in the state budgetary process. So yes, using some of this surplus to support some of the necessary functionality of state government and municipal government, I think would be a really great use for this. Another great use for it might be just to put a little bit of it back in savings for the next recession that's going to happen, when we do need to do some stimulus. If we can do that stimulus out of savings rather than out of borrowing, it becomes much, much more effective.
Our caller also mentioned a concern that the middle class is being squeezed. People are slipping out of it. If that is a policy goal to expand the middle class, is there a tool that you would like to see, say, the state use as opposed to just tax cuts?
Well, the caller makes a really good point in that if we look at the Republican plan so far, as it's currently laid out, the bottom two of the current tax brackets, the maximum tax benefit they would get is somewhere around $250 a year, whereas the top tax bracket, the minimum benefit would be somewhere around $3,500 a year. So there is a little bit of lopsidedness. And of course, with any kind of progressive tax structure, when we have a tax cut, there is going to be that little bit of lopsidedness. But still, there is quite a bit. And so if we're looking at institutions that grow that middle class, and in particular, grow the entire Wisconsin economy, I think we need to take a look at, well, where is it that we need development in the Wisconsin economy. And if we look over the last 10 years or so, I mean, really, it has been within workforce. We've simply had essentially a misalignment of the skills and workers available versus the skills and workers needed by employers. And so I would very much like to see some of this surplus go towards helping retool that workforce and make sure that we have a workforce that's competitive with the rest of the nation.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Logan Kelly, professor of economics at UW-River Falls, looking at dueling proposals for income tax cuts here in the state, the impact they might have on the state's economy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should the state cut the level of income taxes? Who in Wisconsin do you think would benefit the most from income tax cuts? Where do you think state resources would be most effective at boosting the economy? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about Republican proposed tax cuts and how they could affect the state economy with Logan Kelly, UW-River Falls professor of economics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Talking about income tax here for the most part. Do you want to see income tax cuts? What do you want to know about Wisconsin's economic well-being right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Paul is with us in Richland Center. Paul, hi.
Hey, I may be the oddball here, but I do not want a tax cut, and here's why. Give my few bucks that I'm going to get back from this tax cut to the public education system in this state, especially the K-12 system, so our districts don't have to keep floating referendum after referendum to keep their doors open, which ends up raising our taxes anyway. So, and I would, or if, you know, they don't want to do that, then give it to the university system with the drastic cuts that your guest may be out of a job because of that stupid reason of diversity. I am so tired of the Republicans using a tax cut as a bragging point, and meanwhile, our public education system in this entire state is collapsing by the day because they have no money. So give my tax cut to the public education system.
Paul, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Paul, making the case that, you know, cutting income taxes, if we don't put the money into schools, and there was some money put into schools in that shared revenue deal, in effect, the taxes are just shuffled into those local property taxes if referenda are passed, Logan.
Well, indeed. So one of the issues that we run into, and this goes back to also the previous caller talking about helping out municipalities, at some point, basic services have to be provided and have to be paid for. And at the municipal level and at the local K-12 school district level, that could come through levies or come through property taxes. Now, one of the issues with that is that can lead to disproportional provision of education. And so if we have a lower property tax base area, that lower base area is going to have less funding coming into its school system. I think it is a really important point to talk about the need for significant investment in our education system, in that one of our biggest challenges over the last, and I'll say 10 or 15 years, because that's my kind of time in Wisconsin, but even longer than that, I believe, is the development of workforce and the attraction and retention of talent. And that goes everything from your basic low-skilled worker all the way up to somebody with a PhD or a advanced degree in an area of industry. We need to be able to bring that in. If we have that workforce, then employers will locate here and they will hire people. If employers can't find their workers, they will leave. And so we have essentially an excess demand for labor at most of the realms without the labor throughout the economic spectrum. But that won't last if we don't invest in and develop that workforce. And that includes things like K-12 education, but also post-secondary education, in particular the UW system. We currently are 42nd in the nation in terms of funding higher education.
Thanks for that call. We are looking at proposed income tax cuts here in Wisconsin with Logan Kelly, UW River Falls Professor of Economics. Back to your calls now. John is with us in Algoma. John, hi.
Good afternoon. Wonderful that you're having this discussion. I guess I just wanted to say, actually, as your prior caller just said, I do not want a tax cut. The amount is a pittance, and I, even though I'm retired and on a fixed income, I do not need it. I'm doing fine. But what we need to do is build the infrastructure that develops the state. Wisconsin has developed on the basis of having a world-class educational system, both at the K-12 level, but also at the university level and at the graduate level. Businesses are started because people have an opportunity to see that they can apply their knowledge and develop new processes and new technologies. We need to support that. We also need to support our municipalities and counties and get the roads fixed. By the way, you know, the roads are still horrible. They're improving slowly, but there's a lot more infrastructure development that needs to take place. So let's invest in our children. Let's invest in the future. Let's invest in business by creating the workforce that we need.
John, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. Logan, you already talked about that education infrastructure that John was mentioning. He also talked about the physical infrastructure, the things like roads that you touched on briefly earlier. Do you see more room for that kind of investment?
So physical infrastructure can have a hugely stimulative effect on an economy in a couple of different ways. The first way that it does this is in the initial impact of the expenditure of actually building the road, all right, or building the infrastructure. You're hiring people to do that construction. That has an initial impact. But it also has an impact in terms of the efficiency of which we can conduct commerce throughout the state. So being able to access areas is extremely important, and this is part of a road system. That infrastructure, though, goes beyond the physical tangible infrastructure. It's tangible, but stuff that we can see in terms of things like broadband internet. That's absolutely essential for a business to operate in today's day and age. And you need a big pipe to be able to do it, and it has to be reliable, and it needs to be cost effective. And that's something that for large portions of the state, that's still not a reality. And so you just won't see the kind of business development that you would see were that there. So yes, the kinds of infrastructure, both really ultra traditional, let's build some roads and some bridges, up through things like provision of utilities like broadband internet, are really important things to invest in.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller. Ron is with us in Blue Mounds. Ron, hi.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just want to add to the conversations that have been taking place. For one, please, no more tax cuts. What I'd like to add is that I'm not sure that many Wisconsinites really see the impact of all the tax cuts and the way the budget has been going for the last 10 years. If we take a look across the states, those municipalities and school systems that desperately needed to go to referendum to stay, operating at a decent level, have borrowed somewhere around, the last figure I saw was $11 billion in debt over the last 10 years. And of course, we've watched our state debt cross the $24 billion mark. So a budget is really on projections. We seem fairly confident that we're going to have this surplus, but nothing's guaranteed. So I'm not for spending money that still hasn't been incurred.
Gotcha. Ron, we just have a minute or so left. Logan, your thoughts on Ron's notes on money we've borrowed at the local level and state level.
Well, certainly reduction of debt will reduce our interest expense and help improve surpluses in the future. A certain amount of debt is okay. But of course, another thing we can do with that is retire some of that debt and not incur more by ending up with a larger deficit the next recession that we end up with.
Ron, thanks for that call. Logan, in just our last few moments, what are you watching most closely when it comes to our state economy and our economic well-being?
Well, right now, the biggest thing on my mind is that yield curve that tends to invert whenever we're expecting a recession in the not too distant future. And right now that pattern's leaking out that we could be looking at recessionary times end of the year versus beginning of next year, hopefully not too severe a recession. But it's important to keep that in mind as we're thinking about tax policies that expansion, this may be premature for an expansionary policy.
Logan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Logan Kelly, professor of economics at UW River Falls. He joined us for a look at calls for income tax cuts here in the state. The Joint Finance Committee in the legislature advanced an income tax cut plan. Would have to go to the full legislature, then to the governor as part of the two-year state budget process. You can keep sharing your thoughts on the idea of income tax cuts. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. If you have thoughts on what the state should or shouldn't do with its budget surplus, let us know about it.